Welcome to the second episode of SidePod Panel. Following on from last week's great success, we're doing it again. This week we have a guest host in the form of Alex Andronov.
Good evening. We also have two teams, Apple Cake versus Chocolate Cake, peopled by some of the finest Formula One minds that were available at short notice on a Sunday night. For Team Apple Cake, we have Scott in Italy.
Hello.
RG.
Howdy.
Andy.
Hello.
And for Team Chocolate Cake, we have Scott Woodwiss.
Evening.
Journeyer.
Good morning.
And me.
Hello.
You get a turn.
I get a go.
Oh, cool.
They're letting me on the panel. Thank you, Alex.
Just to make clear, because I don't know if it'll be clear otherwise, me isn't me. Me is the other person on SidePod
who has a stupid name.
Isn't Christy.
Basically, the rules are Alex will presumably have some questions in mind, some topics to discuss, and we'll run through the various people will get their say. And if I like what I hear, you'll get this sound. And a point. And if I don't like what I hear, you'll get this sound and you won't get a point.
Do you lose a point?
No, you just don't get a point.
Okay.
If you lose a point if you hear this one.
That's really
bad.
Which
is really, really bad. And then you get extra points if you hear this one because you made me laugh.
Okay.
And extra points are there if you manage to get Frank or Bourdais into a sentence without being too obvious about it.
Okay. And so take it away, Alex.
Okay, excellent. I just wanted to add one thing. I was going to try a slightly new rule, which is I think everybody gets a go at each question. So if you do go on too long, then maybe Christine will...
Excellent stuff.
Okay, excellent stuff. So question one, we're going to go with first starting with Scott in Italy for Apple Cake. With a 7-point lead going into the final race, does Lewis have what it takes to be the world champion? Does he deserve it? And do you think the FIA would be willing to disqualify him from Brazil?
Well, good question. Let's start with the first one. Yes, I think he has what it takes. I think Lewis pretty much deserved it consistently over the last couple of years. I think, to be honest, that his performance in Silverstone really showed. I mean, what was it, 7 or 8 times? I'm a big fan of the guy, but I think consistency, it has to be Hamilton, and I really don't think the FIA can take it away from them.
Excellent stuff. Over to the other Scott Woodwiss in for the chocolate pie team. Chocolate pie, chocolate cake.
Yes, you are chocolate cake, yeah. don't make me laugh. Right, yeah, I think he has got what it takes. I think that looking at the recent news stories, he said that Ron Ness has said that they're going to be conservative and then they're going to be all out, so that they're really all over the place with that. But I think he's got what it takes. I mean, we saw in China, he was flawless. He didn't put a wheel wrong, and he was cool, calm, and just apart from a slight slide in one of the corners, he just didn't make a mistake. So I think another weekend of that, and just some bad luck from the Ferraris, I reckon, and they can do that. As for the FIA, well, we know what they're like with controversy and handing out penalties, so anything's possible, but I hope nothing happens, but you never can tell.
Excellent stuff, Scott. Thanks very much. Over to Apple Cake with RG.
Well, I think he didn't deserve it, nor does Massa. Kubica probably deserves it more. Been more consistent this season. Haven't made too many errors in them places. I think he will win it, but for the last question, will the FIA disqualify him? I doubt it. Could be too obvious.
Excellent. Okay, chocolate cake, team Journeyer.
Yeah, okay. Does he deserve it? Yeah, absolutely. I think he has what it takes this time around. I mean, surely he can't chuck it off the road twice. I think he has what it takes. So does Massa, actually, but at this point, Massa will need a lot of help if he wants to win the championship. On the other hand, does the FIA have the ability to disqualify him? Sure, absolutely. If they were able to disqualify Bourdais for that incident with Massa where it was Massa who squeezed him off the road, anything is really possible here. But on the whole, I think the FIA will you know, we'll realize we don't want to uncrown the champion, but I wouldn't discount the possibility of it.
Excellent stuff. Thank you, Jania. Over to Andy for Applecake.
Yeah, I think he's got what it takes. I don't think the FIA will dare to disqualify him or do anything, but I think McLaren are going to be on their best behaviour. They're going to make sure that he does everything by the book and just keeps himself out of trouble and gets to the end and hopefully comes in at a point where he's actually going to win. I mean, the championship.
Excellent, thank you.
And there was no points there from Christine.
I get no points for that.
That's terrible.
What? Oh dear.
Wow. Okay, first one with no points.
Okay, and now the most controversial, me. What about you?
I'm watching Christine's on the points now, you see. I'm worried that we won't get anything for this. This is concerning. Does Hamilton deserve to win this? Yes, he does, because he didn't get to where he is by fluke. He has put in some stellar drives this year. He's done nothing that would makes him undeserving. He's, aside from a slight slip-up in Canada, he's had a pretty good year. And therefore, he's there because he's driven better than everybody else. Will the FIA do anything? I think we're probably at a point past second-guessing the FIA on what they may or may not do. They did have a guy in Alonso's garage, a fair play guy, last year, which was getting to the point of being completely ridiculous. And I think that at least we don't have that this year, but I'm at the point where I just think that we're never going to know what they're going to do, and they could easily fine him, ban him, throw him out of the sport if they had their way. I think we'll probably see something nefarious happening after the race in Brazil. Oh! Why? It's true!
Why not?
I have the power.
Okay, You're more optimistic about the FIA if you don't think that's going to happen. That's all I'm saying. My faith in them is diminished to absolute zero now.
I think we have to be a little bit faithful. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a really long off season waiting for 2009 and think, well, does it really matter whose garage goes at which end of the lane? It'll get ridiculous.
Scott in Italy there. Excellent stuff. Thanks, guys. Okay. So at the end of that round, then I don't know whether Christine's going to hold up the scores or not.
That would be excellent.
I certainly can do. At the end of that round, we have Applecake have 3 and Chocolate Cake have 4.
Can I just say that you were born to do this job? That's all I want to say. Carry on. Sorry, Alex.
No extra points for that, I'm afraid.
Okay, excellent stuff. So as long as everybody remembers who they were behind, you'll know who you're going to be behind again, right? So, good.
It's a Trulli train.
Trulli train. It's the Trulli train of presents. Okay, you are.
Giggle train.
Who was that? Who got that point? Who said Trulli train?
Got in Italy.
Oh, he's racking up the points. This is not fair.
Now it's 4-all.
Although with Alex, Alex more like the giggle train.
The giggle train.
Okay, so excellent. This is going to start with Team Chocolate Cake and Scott Woodworth. You are, for this question only, Lewis Hamilton. What do you say to wind up the opposition ahead of this race?
That just sucks. I think that I'd probably say that his dad's going bald. that his teammate is just a yes man who just move out the way. That Ferrari always being favoured by the FIA.
Okay, Scott, that's it. Oh.
Yeah, that was fine. That's it.
Okay, Scott, thanks for that. Over to Applecake and RG.
Look where Sauber on, you could be that.
Like that one.
Excellent stuff, thanks RG. And over to Jenia.
I'll say that, you know, that Kimi's faster and that Kimi will have to bail him out to win the championship.
Andy, over at Applecake.
I'd probably say something like, it depends on the weather. I think if the weather's going to be bad and it might be raining, I'll be going, well, how many times did I spin? It was...
Lots of points there. Wow.
Okay, sorry. And over to me for a chocolate cake.
Okay. I would say, Massa, enjoy it while you can. This is your one and only chance of winning the World Championship. Next year, it's all going to be all about Kimi, and you're going to blow it. The pressure's too much. And it's your last chance to really shine. And once more, you'll be back in someone else's shadow.
Ooh, no points there for me.
Again, no points.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
So at the end of round two, Christine, what's the scores on the boards?
At the end of round two, we have apple cake on 8 and chocolate cake have 7.
Can you hold that slightly closer to the camera because I'm not sure people can see that.
Okay, excellent. So that's the end of question two. Over to question three. Kurs is coming into Formula One next year. Can Formula One ever really be green? And that question goes to RG for apple cake.
As long as there's engines, no.
Archie's a man of few words, but they're all good ones.
I like it.
Excellent stuff. Okay, over to Jernia, chocolate cake.
Curse. F1 will never be green in a gazillion years unless they have hybrids that go, you know, that go chug, chug, chug away. Just not possible.
Okay, Andy for apple cake. Oh, I suddenly realised something. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't think we asked Scott in Italy to do with the answer to the last question.
Oh, really?
No, you left me out, but I had nothing interesting to say, so I was quite happy.
You'll forgo that point.
You're very kind, Scott. Sorry about that. Andy?
Green F1? I don't think so. You'd have to have pedal cars, wouldn't you?
Me for chocolate cake?
I think we've already had a green F1. We had it in Fuji with the tyres. And I think that's as green as Formula 1 is ever going to get. It can never be more green than that. Honda have proven that green is slow. And until they start winning races with their green ethos, I don't think there's going to be anything to be said for it, despite how much the FIA try and push it down our throats. I just don't think it's possible. They don't go, motorsport and green don't go together. They never have and never will do.
Ah, finally a point for me. Excellent stuff.
Woo! I'm on a roll now. There's no stopping me.
Scott in Italy, apple cake.
I think there's a few ways. More races like Indianapolis in 2005. get rid of half the field. I think that's a good start. Secondly, would be to let in more teams with no financial backing so that they disappear. In the and if Honda increase a second team and have 4 cars, then 4 cars will run really slow out of two. And I think this is 3 ways to make the sport a lot greener.
I want to be in Scott's team.
Okay. So, and finally, for Team Chocolate Cake, it's Scott Woodwiss.
Good luck, Scott.
Now I'm going to do rubbish now, aren't I? I think there are ways in which they can try and improve how environmental they are. I don't think there is going to be a totally green F1. I mean, unless they all turn to Toyota and nick their idea of, you know, with their hybrid of creating an engine that only produces clean air, that's not going to happen in F1, I don't think. But I think that there are ways they can do, which is going to biofuels and with this CURS system and, you know, more environmentally friendly materials which they can use. But in terms of if there's going to be a completely green F1, no, I don't think so. I mean, there's probably more chance of Max giving up the orgies than...
There's something very libelous in that.
You get both because we don't like bringing up Max.
Okay, point that.
Okay, that's the end of question three. What are the scores, Christine?
Okay, at the end of round three, apple cake have 13 and chocolate cake have 10.
Woo! Okay, there's a gap opening. It's opening. Be careful, guys. Okay, question number 4, I think we're on, is a quick fire question. Just round everybody really, really fast. Who do you think will be Well, will win the race this weekend.
Okay.
And that question goes first to Jurnia.
Win the race? Massa.
Massa. Andy?
Yes, Massa.
Me?
Sebastian Bourdais.
Damn it, that was my answer.
brilliant.
Scott in Italy?
Well, given me stole my answer, I'll go for Jano Trulli.
And Scott Woodwiss?
Alonso.
And RG?
What about?
Interesting that no one said Hamilton.
Wow.
We would have, it's just not funny.
We're all afraid of getting the eh.
You wouldn't have got an for saying Hamilton,
I
would you?
I said Hamilton's going to win the race.
I'm amazed that no one said that a team member was going to drop out and that Frank Montagne would come in.
can the host get points?
Alex is going to win this on his own, you know.
If he does, can he be on our team?
Okay, so at the end of question number, I don't know, four. What's the score, Christine?
Okay, the scores at the end of round four. Apple cake have 14, chocolate cake have 15, and Alex has 3.
Okay, so this goes, first question to Andy is going to go first. And if you were in charge of Formula One for one day and it could introduce one rule which would be irrevocable forever, what would it be and why?
What a question.
That's a great question.
Oh, I need some time to think about that.
No.
I think it would have to be, I've long thought this to be true. I think it would have to be a little button for every single car which did something to the car. So whoever's sitting there in race control can randomly press a button, like the boss of the James Bond baddies with all of the agents sitting around the table. He can press a button and have something happen on the car. I think that would make things more interesting.
What would you have happen? Wheels fall off?
It would be something random. It'd have to be something random each time. But yeah, that's what I'd do.
Okay, thanks very much, Andy. What about you, me?
I would introduce the paintball guns. So that if you ended up following a car for too long, the car would just end up plastered and you couldn't see any of the sponsors' logos anymore. So if one car held up another car, the sponsors' logos would just be gone. And therefore, it would encourage people to get out the hell out of the way. So truly trained, this car would just be a ball of paint by the end of it. And every time you get hit, you get slower. So someone has a chance behind you who's not been hit so much to overtake.
Who? So a driver is aiming a paintball gun and driving a car at the same time.
There's a trigger on the steering wheel, and there's a paintball gun at the front. And every time obviously when you fire your paintball, your car gets lighter and the car in front gets heavier. That's what I do.
I love how sensible these suggestions are. Okay. Scott in Italy.
I think the rule I would do is that Honda have to start on the front row every time with two new drivers, Bourdais and Frey.
Oh, what? That's an irrevocable rule. The guy's gonna be driving 90.
100 years old, they'll still be driving for them. Okay, Scott Woodwiss and Chocolate Cake, what are you gonna do?
I'll probably do a serious one. Let's say I just thought of it. Each driver has only one car to use throughout the whole season, and if they smash up that car, then that's their loss. So, it's a boring one, but I have to think of.
2 points for that one. That would hurt David Coulthard, don't you think, Scott?
Now he's retiring, so it doesn't matter.
Excellent stuff. Thanks, Scott. And now to RG.
Bring back Canada.
Wow.
Words, RG. Okay. But they are very wise words.
They are.
Okay. Wise age.
Jurnia, chocolate cake.
Yes, please.
Okay. The cars have to be designed based on any of the cars in wacky races. So you have like a car that that looks like Dick Dastardly's car, and you have a car that looks like Peter Perfect's car, and you have a car that's like Penelope Pitstop's car, and then they all have to have the same powers that each of those cars had.
Who would be the Arkansas Chug and Boom?
I think I have to give the Honda that one.
Jenny's racking up the points with that one.
Excellent stuff. Well done, Jenny. Okay, so at the end...
Oh. It's a shame that DC's retiring, because he'd make a great Peter Perfect.
Oh, yeah! Exactly, yeah! If he didn't hit everyone else so much, he would.
It's the chin, I'm thinking.
Is that the end of that round, Alex?
That needs to be the end of that round.
That was question 5, I think. And at the end of that round, what are we doing on the scores, Christine?
Awesome questions, by the way. That looks close.
Getting close. Apple Cake have 22 and Chocolate Cake have 23. Alex is still on 3.
Oh, no, I'm doing terribly. Okay. right, okay, well, we're going to go back to Scott in Italy. And he is going to answer this question. In a super team of Frank Montagny and Sebastian Bourdais, which has been formed with the side podcast Euro Millions Fund, which engine and chassis do you choose?
Alex just got...
I have to go first. I think the chassis would be one that David Coulthard had never damaged. And the engine would be... let me see. One that the Red Bull mechanics haven't been near.
Oh, very good. Okay, over to Chocolate Cake and Scott Woodwiss.
Okay, I'd go for... The chassis would probably be Ferrari because it's the most aerodynamic and the fastest chassis. And the engine would be BMW because that's the only engine, I think, on the grid that hasn't blown up this year. Most reliable.
Excellent, thanks, Scott Woodwiss. Okay, over to Apple Cake and RG.
BMW chassis because it's been persistently quick all season. BMW's engine because it hasn't blown up into a thousand pieces like Webers.
Okay, RG, the BMW fanboy. okay, Jernier for Chocolate Cake.
I'd want it to have a Williams chassis and a Renault engine because Williams Renault is... just such a throwback to the 90s. And besides, the Renault engine seemed to have improved for reliability all of a sudden.
2 points there.
Okay, Andy for Apple Cake.
I'd like to see a Mercedes engine in a Ferrari chassis. Or a Ferrari engine in a Mercedes chassis. Just to see whether there's any truth in the...
Max would have you believe that that's what we're seeing with McLaren already this year. So, over to me for Chocolate Cake.
I'd like to see Cosworth come back as an engine supplier. So my engine would be powered by Cosworth because there's a lot of history there and I'd like to see him back on the grid. I'm not really bothered about the chassis. My chassis would be a 2008 chassis, not a 2009 chassis.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so the end of question 6. Christine, what are the scores? It's the final one, most important... ultimate round.
How close is it?
Okay, the scores at the moment. Apple Cake have 27, but Chocolate Cake have 30, and Alex now has 5.
We get Alex on our team.
Okay, so Scott and Woodwiss has a throw-in question, which we were never expecting, but this is a great thing. Scott, do you want to just say your question again?
Yeah, I read somewhere on a website that a news story, which I'm not sure if it's true or not, but I'll suggest it anyway, that apparently, Heikki has told some people close to him that he is now, at the moment, unhappy at McLaren, probably because of the thing with Lewis and him going to the championship and the recent problems with him. So, and that he possibly wants to move elsewhere. I just wanted to ask, do you think there's any truth into that? What your opinions on it are, and if he wants to go and move, is there anywhere, where could he possibly go?
Okay, great question, Scott. Yeah. I'm going to answer this first because obviously this is now somebody else asking a question. I think that if he wants to leave and let Sebastian Bourdais step into the McLaren seat, then that's a great thing for him to do. But I'm willing to accept other answers, obviously. So over to RG.
I think it's possibly true. Seems like a nice guy, but he might be unhappy. I think if he's going to go anywhere, I'll probably back to Renault. Nelson Piquet's probably going to get kicked out sooner or later. So he'd probably be, problem there is probably still be second with Alonso, so maybe he might end up at Honda.
Okay, Journeyer for chocolate cake.
I think Heike is a good fit with the atmosphere at McLaren. So I don't see any reason why he'd be unhappy, because you can just say that, you know, his bad form this season is much like a fluke, because a lot of it was down to reliability issues, really. And besides, at this point, all the other, unless he does a team where he can establish himself as number one, I don't really see it happening, because each of the teams already has their number one. You have Ferrari there, you have Ferrari is already good, of course. Renault has Alonso. Honda already has Button. Yeah, Toyota has Trulli and Glock. So, what else? Red Bull has Vettel. Toro Rosso has Bourdais. I really don't see a team where he'll be fast and team leader. So, you know, as I've always thought with Rubens Barrichello, better stick with a team where you have a bigger chance of winning than leading a team that you have no chance of winning. So, he should be happy where he is.
Excellent points, Journeyer. Thanks very much. Okay, over to Andy for apple cake.
I think I agree with the comments there about he hasn't really got anywhere else to go. There isn't a space where he can be number one in team. He'd have to be second driver. And I just noticed a comment here that says a driver that isn't Lewis unhappy in McLaren, a supposedly unbiased team. Now that is an interesting thing, because in the past McLaren have always said that they treat their drivers equally and that they allow them to race against one another, and that seems to have changed recently, which I think is a shame, because that's one of the reasons why I like McLaren and I supported McLaren in the past. They do let their drivers race, and it just seems it's not happening this time. So maybe he's right to be looking around.
Okay, Andy, that was also a comment from Lou. I don't know whether Lou gets a point or anything in there, Christine. Excellent. Well done, Lou. Andy.
I should give credit there.
over to me for chocolate cake.
I think, I'm going to steal something from the comments. This time I'm going to steal this one from Kathy, who said, I think she's based in Finland and she has more insight into the Finnish drivers than any of us do in the UK. And what she's saying is that Heike's girlfriend is unhappy with the atmosphere in the McLaren motorhome and prefers to spend time in the Renault motorhome. Now, funnily enough, I think we've heard this before. I think we heard this last year. I think Alonso's family and friends preferred to hang around in the Renault motorhome because it was a nicer atmosphere and they didn't like being in the McLaren garage. I wouldn't be surprised to see Heike heading back to Renault at some point in the future. Probably not next year, but maybe the year after. And
okay,
thank you to Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy. I mean, just to throw in there, the something to do with the departure of Flav might be important. And as we think about that, go to Scott in Italy for apple cake.
I think Heike might end up back at Renault if it's true. And to be honest, if you're behind Lewis Hamilton, you're always going to be number two. And like everyone said, he's not going to be a number one anywhere. The only chance I see would be to go back to Renault with some of the other testers from 2003, like, say, Frank Montagne.
Oh!
Wow! That was good!
That was unexpected.
That was subtle.
That's very well. As subtle is all what it's all about in this game.
Are you sure you haven't played this before, Scott?
No, I half listened last week.
And we finish here with Scott Woodwiss on his own question, I think.
No, I think that taking off what so many other people said, but I really don't see where he can go. Because, I mean, Toyota's pretty much filled up. I'm not sure if they've decided on Glock yet. Honda, at the moment, they're all talking no trousers. Toro Rosso are pretty much not sure what they're doing at the moment. I really can't see him going back to Renault whilst Alonso's there, because he probably wouldn't be number two. So the thing which I suggested just now in the comments is that maybe he takes a sabbatical and then comes back in 2010 when the market's opened up, because then he'll have more options then next year. More options in 2010, we're looking towards 2010, when he can also look towards this year. So either that or just try and ride it out at McLaren, but at the end of the day, Aki's there, so it's up to him.
Oh!
Ooh.
Didn't like the idea. What was that for? Was that for?
I don't like the idea of a sabbatical.
Why? What's wrong with a sabbatical?
I think it's too hard to get back in again.
It didn't work for Villeneuve.
That's true. Good point.
Great, because it, at the moment, looking at next year, you've only got like three teams which have got things open. In 2010, you'd have quite a few more teams open, because you've got probably Kimi going and other teams sort of opening up. So if he came back in 2010, he's got the experience, he's won a race. So I think that if he was to come back in 2010, there'd be a lot more options opened up for him to go into the team. So
Scott, do you not think though that if he leaves under a cloud like this, that's going to be the last thing that people remember?
If I'm honest, Alonso left under a cloud at McLaren. I mean, look what's happened now. I mean, he went back to Renault, and
he's been driving in Formula One though.
I think Jack left under a cloud, didn't he? And he came back to Renault for two races, didn't do very well. Came back to who the hell did he come back for in the end? I can't even remember who it was.
Sauber.
And did nothing, and then left. And the reason he gave for being so slow and struggling so much, he said a lot changed in a year. Formula One got faster in the year that I was out, and now I can't keep up.
Well, yeah, I was just going to add to that. The thing about it is next year is a completely different year, new rules. So if Heike leaves now, he'll be at such a huge disadvantage if and when he does come back in 2010. And what will make it worse is he probably won't make a comeback with a front-runner team. So, you know, leaving now would just screw his career up. So I don't really see it.
Okay, excellent. Well, okay, thanks for that throw-in question. That's great. Thanks, Scott Woodward, for that extra question. And now we go to the final question. But before we do that, Christine, what are the scores?
Going into the final round, Applecake have 33 and Chocolate Cake have 38. We've got Alex on 7 and Kathy and Lou both have 1 point.
Here we go to the last question. And this one is going to start with me. And this is another quick fire question as we go around. Okay, here's the quick fire question. I would like you, please, to do your very best impression of a Formula One car. Thank you. Go ahead now.
No, I'm good.
Come on, come on, let's go.
Oh, that's it, you failed.
Go for me.
No! No!
You let them down.
I'm sorry.
He's gone. It's all falling apart. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Oh, I can't believe you did that. You did that on purpose. I blame
sorry.
Alex should lose a point for being mean.
Would you like to give it a go, though, me, now, after you've considered it?
I can't breathe.
Maybe we should come back to him.
Come back to me in a second.
Yeah, come on, you can come last now. Okay, that means, I don't mean in the points, obviously. over to Scott in Italy for Applecake, come on.
I have an impression of a Super Aguri car.
Nothing. Oh, he doesn't even get the joke.
I looked at you blankly. Right.
Yeah, you're funny.
Scott Woodward for Chocolate Cake.
Okay. I'm actually one of the things I like to do sometimes, it may sound weird, but I do actually like to do like sort of noises of racing cars, so this should be quite good. It might sound a bit weird, but I'll give it a go.
I'm glad you're on our team, Scott.
Right. Okay.
Whoever knew that talent would come in handy.
Yay.
Well done, Scott Woodward. That was loads of points. Okay, over to RG for Applecake.
David Coulthard on Sunday.
Mm, mm, mm.
Thank you, RG. And over to for chocolate cake, Jernia.
Right. In memory of Lewis Hamilton's last year's Brazilian Grand Prix, I just go.
Watch out, me. You're very shortly coming up again, and first, it's Andy for apple cake.
Well, it's got to be the David Coleman handing over to whoever was doing Formula One back then, which is. Now it's over to Murray Walker for default.
I don't know what that was, but I like it.
Yeah, point then.
I don't feel well.
Oh dear. So me, no. Now the moment of truth has come. It's full circle. And it means it's you to make answer the final question, final points, and now hold on. Before you go, Christine, how many points does he need to make up before to make sure if this is a winner or not?
There are only 2 points in it.
Ooh, okay, me. This could be very
really?
Important.
I'm not telling you which way round, I'm just saying there are 2 points in it.
I can't do this. The pressure's too great. Okay.
Okay. It's a very important moment. This may be it. The most important moment inside podcast history.
No pressure. That's a point.
Think quite
point for Alex there. I like it.
I give up. I want to go home.
All right.
Think high pitch. Think high pitch. I'm giving him some tea advice.
Okay. Yeah. Okay then. All right then. Oh.
Come on, me. For chocolate cake and for side podcast glory. Off you go.
No, I can't. I can't. I just can't do it. No.
Oh, we've all done.
Did you just stall?
He stalled on the grid.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's it.
Oh. Hold on a second. Hold on, I have one answer. Hold on.
That's cheating.
Come on, that was quick thinking.
Come on. No, it's not cheating, it's genius. That is pure genius.
That's the best I can do. I'm sorry.
I think you've only caused us to have, in the last 5 minutes, an incident which will have to be investigated after the pod panel. I refer you to Stephen Clay, who, depending on whether you're wearing a red shirt or not, will decide whether you won or not.
Shall I do the final scores?
I think you should do the final scores before I...
So, at the end of side pod panel number 2, Apple Cake have 43 points, and Chocolate Cake have 45.
Yeah! Oh. Yes!
Which has nothing to do with me because he's a loser. Alex had 8 points at the end of that.
Wow.
And Kathy and Lou still have one.
That was awesome. I cannot tell you. I'm so glad I'm not on camera because I'm just in a bit of a state right now. Thank you, Alex.
What a great job.
Actually, no thank you, Alex. No thank you at all. I'm rubbish. Thank you to Alex. Thank you to everybody for being on this call. That has just made my evening quite. I don't know. Last time I had so much fun. Did you enjoy yourselves?
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. Brilliant. Hell yeah.
Okay. Definitely.
Excellent.
Are you going to come again?
Yes.
Absolutely.
How awesome was Alex as a host, by the way, guys?
Yeah, what brilliant. Alex? I have to say a round of applause.
Especially for not giggling.
Yes.
Not losing it.
Very little giggling all night.
I'm very impressed.